Isn't it funny how that happens, though, where, like, you're young, you're into it, then somewhere there's a turn, you're too old for it, it's too dorky, and then somewhere there's a turn back, and you're like, ha, 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 this is so good.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Teddy Willett is 168 of the Trailer Junkies podcast. How was your week?
Good. Good week. How was yours?
Good week for you. I'd say good week for me, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, a few things. But before we jump into it, let's drink some beer, man. I'm thirsty.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you have tonight?
You have a story with yours, I guess. So I will lead with mine, I guess, right?
Yeah, I have a little bit of a story, sure.
Well, we were in Burbank today, so I was like, oh no, I don't have any show beers.
Uh-oh.
I have no show beers, and we're in Burbank, we're doing a little house hunting. So we're looking in Burbank, and I said, oh, this place is only 1.1 miles from the Handy Market.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 1.1 million.
That's low. It's like,
that's low.
Everything in Burbank is one and a quarter.
Oh, jeez.
You know, if it's worth anything, unless it was built in 1940 and not renovated at all since 1940.
And then it's 1.1.
Then it's, you know, 995, you know.
Oh, yikes. Dirt is expensive.
And then after 60 days in the market, they just bump it up. They're like, oh, it hasn't sold. Let's sell it. Let's add 100,000. Anyway, never mind. So I was at Handy Market, and I picked up this barrel-aged Beechwood 8 Buffalo.
8 Buffalo.
Which is a bourbon barrel-aged Imperial Stout.
Yikes, that sounds yummy.
Small batch. So we'll pop that.
So wait, it's what Buffalo? That's the brewery?
That's the name. No, the brewery's Beechwood.
Oh, Beechwood.
Beechwood's a typical. And then 8 Buffalo.
8 Buffalo.
Is the name of the beer.
Cool. Well, I don't know if my beer is as exciting as yours, but we had our beginning of the year, let's get together as a staff party.
Uh-huh.
And they had a raffle and, you know, all this stuff, and gave out X number of raffle tickets.
Nice.
And, like, you know, people are winning, you know, candy bars. They're winning, like, a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi.
Now, when you say winning, do you have to, like, put in for what you want to compete for the raffle? Do you get to choose what you're raffling for?
No, it's just everybody gets 10 tickets.
Just random.
And whatever's up, if we call your ticket, you get it. So
okay.
It's just like a free for all. Like,
right.
Yeah. It's not like a silent auction. It's not like a
silent raffle auction thing.
No, none of that at all. It's just, here's Three Musketeers and we're calling 771-118. And people are like, woohoo, Three Musketeers, you know?
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, there was a couple bottles of wine and two six-packs of beer.
Nice.
One of the six-packs was like a Trader Joe's knockoff of Corona.
Okay.
So it's the Trader Joe's knockoff of Corona. And then the other six. And then it was like I said, there was a couple of bottles of like sparkling rosé or something.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, don't knock a sparkling rosé.
Hey, when it's free, I won't knock it. Not my choice. But anyway, when they put up a drive-through red, dry-hopped red ale, 7.2%, 42 IBU.
Nice.
By, I don't even know who this is. It looks like, I think it's, so. Oh my goodness, I don't have my glasses.
Uh-oh.
Like an old man.
I got a story for that. That's part of my story. Uh-oh. So.
I think it's a Trader Joe's off-brand something or other, Joseph Brau Brewing Company, San Jose, California.
Trader Joe's. Joseph's Brau.
But, you know, 7.2. I mean, we're talking free beer.
I know.
And we're talking you know, a red ale. It's dry hopped. I mean, it sounds cool. Hey, I got it. All I had to do was walk in the door. They gave me a raffle ticket and I got free beer. I mean, like, who's
And how did it link up so nicely? You know what I mean? Like, with a rosé, you know, with a rosé, you'd be like, you know, storing it in the fridge until Anne came up or something.
Yeah, I probably would have done that. But, you know, the thing is, it was a six pack and I came home and Clarissa says, well, I get a text. Clarissa said, where are you? I said, oh, I'm at a work function. We're at the country club and all this stuff. I said, back to work night. I said, I'll be home in a little bit. So I get home. I said, you're not going to believe it. I just got a six pack. So we drank a couple. And I said, I got to save one of these for the show to tell Ted about, when I won at the raffle. Yeah. I mean,
smooth drinking 7.2.
Easy drinking 7.2, man. Like, thank you, Trader Joe's. And thank you, Cabrillo High School.
Yeah.
All right. So, week. How was your week? You had a good week. It sounds like you guys had some problems out in the yard with a water heater. Or something.
Well, let's start at the beginning of the week. You're struggling to read the label, and I too am getting optically challenged. And as you get older, your eye just smushes and you can't read, and you have to hold things like so far away from your face that, you know, it's like such at a full arm's length to read it.
Well, you're a glasses wearer kind of guy though. So
I wear glasses. But on Monday, I took...
you had LASIK?
No, I took the morning off.
Oh.
And I went to the eye doctor. And every time I go to the eye doctor, I always like say, don't give me the drops. I can't handle the drops.
You're talking about the dilation. Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. I can't do it. It gives me a headache for the whole rest of the day. I can't handle it. I can't be in it. So the past two times they've taken pity on me and not done it. This past Monday, they were like, we have to do the dilation. You know, we've skirted it for a couple of years now. You have no record of your dilation because you keep saying no, no, no. So Anne's there. Anne's getting her exam at the same time. And she's a little hardier than I am when it comes to dilating the pupils. So she could drive after that.
Oh, wow.
And I just curl up in a ball in the front seat, like covering my eyes, like waiting for the pain to go away. But on the way home, you know, she's like, right, we don't have the kids. You know, you took the morning off. Let's go have lunch. You know, let's have our anniversary lunch since we.
Is that code? Is that code?
It can be, but this time it just meant lunch. It depends on the surround. You know, it's all about context. I was hungry. She was hungry. It meant lunch. So there's this awesome fancy place on the way home because we go to Cedars, you know, Cedars for our ophthalmologist.
Okay.
So we're all the way in Beverly Hills, and then coming home, you cross over and there's a place called The Front Yard. Have you heard of it?
Never heard of it. No.
So love The Front Yard. The Front Yard. Speaking of rosé, Anne and her best friend, one of her many best friends. Sorry. Yes. Anne and one of her many best friends found this place to lunch at from time to time. And they have a special bottomless rosé every day for $20 with the purchase of an entree. So you can just sit there and, you know, as long as you eat a meal, you get rosé all day.
Just get destroyed on rosé.
And they used to say on the menu, they used to say in the line under that is, you must not put your head on the table you cannot put your head down was the line under that. And when we were in there, we were in the restaurant, we sat at the bar and was like, oh, they took the line out about putting your head down. And our bartender, Adam.
Has this restaurant been there a long time?
It's been there. I don't know how long. It's attached to, a hotel of some kind.
Oh, okay.
But it's a hotel like in the hills, Hollywood Hills between I don't know. Cause I covered my eyes. So I know that they go here to the front yard, and I've had like their takeaway lunches that when they're done, they come and visit me at work and they give me their leftovers. And that's the only way I've ever experienced the front yard up until this point, right? So this is my first time at the front yard, but I have no recollection of going to this place. All I have a recollection of is like, you know, my head kind of hurting as I went in and the brightness. And then luckily we sat at the bar. So it's like the darkest place in this kind of a bright, you know, bright spot. And then we sat at the bar and I order a Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
So Adam comes over and he goes, what will you have for lunch? And I said, I have something that I would want, but it depends on how you serve it, because I will have a Royale with cheese, but only if you serve it to me in metric. And he looked at me and goes, I knew you were going to be trouble. And then the whole bar, all the other people at the bar were like dying laughing. And they're like, oh, that's what I was thinking about, you know. So we all had our Pulp Fiction group moment there.
I love it.
And then the gentleman that was next to us at the bar, because you're kind of, you know, sitting socially, we're trying to have gaps, but you're still sitting around people and with people. And he was a buyer and a seller for a San Jose wine company. He's, you know, and I figured out, I found out, see, we started emailing and stuff, and I think he was listening to a couple episodes, and he's a WSET level 3, which I guess is a highly accredited wine connoisseur, you know, a professional, and also a California wine appellation specialist. So he has a lot of accreditation to be a great wine seller and buyer for a San Jose company. Let's see, what's the San Jose company that he works for? Brassfield Estate. So we're definitely going to check out Brassfield Estate when we're heading up there.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
Yeah. So we did that, and it was a nice nice lunch with my wife as our fun little getaway. Had a couple of cocktails as well. So that's always fun. And then at the end of the week, we were, you know, getting the yard cleaned up, and we had some gardeners come, and they hit the gas meter. So I'm in meeting.
Wait, who hit the gas meter?
The gardeners did.
What do you mean they hit it?
Like they're trimming, you know, it has a little overgrowth, had some weeds growing around it.
What'd they hit it with?
I don't know. I wasn't out there. I was working.
You're talking about the gas meter, like up from the, like.
Yeah, the thing that with the pipes sticking out of it with the little earthquake, you know, switch on it and stuff.
Holy moly.
We don't know how it happened, but it happened, you know, and I'm in my one-on-one with my boss, and Anne comes into the guest house, into the garage, into this, you know, my office. And she goes, who's in that meeting with you? And like, it's just me and Drawer. And she's like, Drawer, I have to take 10. There's a gas leak. There's something wrong with the gas in the house.
It's coming in the house?
And he's like, well, don't let your house blow up, you know, just go and take care of this. So we go in the house and you turn the gas on and little gas would come out. The pilot would light and then it would slowly die down. It was slowly.
Like on the stove?
Yeah, on the stove.
Wow.
But now the whole house is, you know, and the kitchen is starting to smell like gas because we're trying to turn it on and off and on and off. And then I look at the gas meter and I'm like, maybe somebody tripped the, you know, what do you call it? The earthquake shutoff, because there's a little earthquake shutoff valve on it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, little automatic thing?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And I said, well, I don't know. I can't tell. It's dirty and I don't know. It says green or red, but I can't see anything in this little stupid window. So I just called the gas company. I said, yeah, I smell gas. I'm trying to dissipate it. You know, we have the windows open and stuff, but I do smell gas and the gas isn't working properly. So he came out and it took him a couple hours, but he came out and he saw and he goes, yeah, it looks like it was tripped. And then he had a little meter, looks like a Geiger counter that sees where there's leaks.
It's all bzz, 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 bzz.
Yeah, beep, 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 beep. And then it was like beep, 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 beep. You know, so it was doing the super beeping. And there was definitely a piece that was, you know, that it where it was cracked. And he's like, oh, yeah, I should replace this. You know, this is part of our gig. So he goes and he replaces that piece. And while he's taking it apart, the whole assembly, there's like four joints, you know, it's like a monstrosity.
Okay.
That whole assembly crumbles and breaks off in his with his monkey wrench. So I was like, oh, so this is going to go. Yeah, he's like, this is.
Like it was rusty or something?
Yeah, it's like there's like plastic pieces and old galvanized pieces. Wow. And so it was like it broke in his hands. But yeah, so he was able to, you know, get it all working again. And he showed me how to turn off the earthquake valve so I can probably turn the earthquake thing back on and off next time it gets tripped. But the one thing he couldn't do was turn on our hot water heater. So,
oh, I follow you.
Franco is over today. Turning that back on, which was cumbersome. It's better to do it in the dark because you might need to see the pilot.
You could see the pilot lit. Stuff, right? Yeah, it's easier. That makes sense.
So we did it. We tried to do it this afternoon and we're like, let's just come back in the darkness and get it done. But it was much faster than I remember last time. So Frank and I have this down. And by Frank and I mean just Frank. Frank knows how to do it and knows how to tell me to hit the button. He's laying on the ground. And I'm like, I'm just hitting the button whenever he tells me to hit the button. So that's my
exactly.
That's my week.
That's amazing.
Monday to Friday. How about you? How's your week?
So give me a note on the beer really quick before we get to the week. It looks good.
Oh, okay. Oh, it is a delicious, very, very even keeled barrel aged imperial stout. So it doesn't have, which is nice. That's a nice difference. It doesn't have cacao nibs.
Oh, well then.
It doesn't have any of the frilly, you know, a lot of people, they put a vanilla in it. They'll put a cacao. They'll put cacao
nibs.
Right,
I know what you mean.
They'll add like a perfume flavoring to pair with it. And it's a good pairing. But this one is just, we put stout in a barrel or, you know, barrel chips or whatever. It's just those. It's a very basic but beautifully blended barrel aged stout.
Oh, I love it.
And it's 12%. We didn't mention that before.
Oh, I wish I was having one with you.
Oh, and then my last thing is sorry, because
that's okay.
So we were talking about readers and stuff, and I just said I'm embracing.
You got caught up with the rosé.
I know. I told my ophthalmologist, I said, I'm embracing my old man. I said, give me some readers with the chain around my neck. I'll just wear them around my neck. And he goes, no, we'll get you progressives. So I'm getting progressives. They're on order.
Okay.
And we have these bifocal contact lenses. And I was like, what magic is this? And apparently they have contact lenses that suction cup to your eyeball more than regular ones.
But how do you make sure that they're like north and south, if you know what I mean?
Exactly. You don't. But your eye actually tries to change shape as it focuses from far to near.
Okay.
And when it does that, it squeezes itself. And when it squeezes these contact lenses, the contact lenses actually changes shape on your eye.
Oh, so in other words, what makes your eyes go bad as you age is the lens hardens and your muscles can't flex the lens, so therefore you can't see.
Part of it, yeah.
So because the muscles are still working, but the lens is hard, the muscles are able to flex this lens or this contact lens.
The contact lens, yes.
Wow, that's like automagic.
Exactly. I told my kids, you know, these are bifocal contact lenses. It's electronic. They have electronics inside of them that make them flex.
They think you're like Tony Stark and whatnot.
And then I had to come clean because, you know, Anne hates it when I lie to them like that. So yeah, I came clean.
That's amazing.
No, it's a complete lie. But even the technology of just flexing when my eyeball flexes. I mean, when I wore contact lenses and I was completely losing my nearsightedness, wearing contact lenses was so draining and painful because your eye's trying to do something that it should, that it thinks it's doing, but it can't. Like, I can't use a computer typically when I have contact lenses in. I can drive off in the distance, but I can't look at the GPS, you know? And it's like, that's so limited what I could do before with contact lenses, but now it's pretty damn good. And he's like, some people don't respond so well to it. You know, some people don't have the same flex in their eyeball or the muscles don't really work. Mine are working great. I love it.
There you go, man. That's cool. So about 2003-ish, I don't even know when, 2003, 2004, I was in the Army.
Uh-huh.
And I had to go get my eyes dilated. You know, I just had an eye appointment.
Yeah.
So I walked from the barracks where I was over to doctor, the medical facility, whatever. They put the stuff in, and I was at Fort Irwin, and that's like out in, you know, the desert of California. So it's like sunny as all get out and whatnot. I'm all finished. I go to walk back to the barracks. I can't see. Everything's like uber bright.
Right.
You know, I'm walking with my hand over my face and everything.
Yeah.
And fast forward about a day, I get called into the first sergeant's office. First sergeant calls me in. He says, Vancura, you walk past Colonel Sanders. I don't know if that's his name, but I'll call him Colonel. A full bird colonel, by the way.
No way.
You walk past Colonel Sanders. He's waiting for you to salute because enlisted would salute and then officers salute after. Mm-hmm. You never saluted, so he saluted you, and all you did was wave. So I was like,
you're like, I can't see.
I was like, first, I don't know what was going on. They dilated my eyes. I'm walking past. I'm trying just to keep them closed best I could, you know, and my apologies if I screwed up like my salute, but you know, so he's like, whatever. He thought I was bullshitting him or something. So he's like, that's it. So he goes and he follows through to the doctor. And like, nope. We dilated his eyes and everything.
Yep,
and,
yep.
But I could just imagine this colonel there like, oh, here comes somebody. Time to salute. And I just wave at him because I can't see shit, you know?
Yeah, right. You're just like, hey.
It's funny how, like, I probably haven't thought of that in, like, I mean, forever since the day it happened, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
That triggered it. But no, but do you have any fruit trees, apple, plums, pears? You know, any of that stuff on your part?
We just chopped down an orange tree that was in the front yard.
Did it bear fruit?
It did now and then. But, you know, we are very water conscious over here, so we don't water anything but the tree. We water a couple of the trees because we were told they needed it. But other than that, we just kind of deal with the neighbors watering their stuff, and we kind of hope that our roots get it.
Yeah, so we're out playing baseball the other day,
uh-huh.
You know, in the backyard, and Clarissa says, what's that? Look over, and we see this tree, and there's all these, like, purple fruity looking things hanging off it.
Okay.
I'm like, I don't know what that is. So, you know, you pluck one and then, like, I went and rinsed it off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. So I lick it. I'm like,
is this deadly? Let me lick it.
So I'm like, tastes all right. So Clarissa plucks one off, throws it in her mouth, eats it. She said, it's a plum tree.
Nice.
I said, a plum tree? So I pulled one and I went and looked. I looked up some plum trees. So mm-hmm. 9 years living here, we have this tree. Never bore fruit since we've been here.
And you water.
No, we have completely ignored this tree.
Oh, okay.
We have done nothing to this tree. It's under the oak. It's scraggly. There's like three mm-hmm. branches. It's ugly as all hell, right?
It's Charlie Brown's plum tree.
Plum tree, exactly. we have so many plums, hundreds and hundreds of plums. We're giving them away to the neighbors and everything this year. We're like, where do these plums go? So now I'm watering it. I'm fertilizing it. I'm like, oh, my God, I got a plum tree, you know? And I mean, those things, they're the sweetest, juiciest. They're little. They're not real big. They're like, I don't know. They're like.
They're bite-sized. They're like cherry plums or something.
Yeah, exactly, you know? But 9 years living here, and we have this plum tree with, I mean, we must have already eaten 100 plums.
You're like, Frank, you got a basket out front. You're like, free plums.
Oh, I mean, there's got to be 400 more on this thing or more.
That's amazing.
500 plums. I mean, I don't even know. Like, you know what I do, though? I don't pluck them off the tree. I just go at the end of the day every day. I pick them up off the ground. Mm-hmm. I figure when they're ready, they'll present themselves. Anything still on the tree isn't ready yet. But man, 9 years, I always saw this tree. I'm like, I don't know what this thing is, whatever. I just ignored it. I left it.
Yeah.
It's in the south 40 of the yard. It's just this thing underneath an oak tree. It doesn't even get sun, you know, out of the blue. 500-700 plums are on this thing. I mean, it's like outrageous. I'm not even exaggerating. It's like the number of plums is ridiculous on this thing.
You know, it's been slowly like growing its roots, and its root finally like cracked into your sewer line.
Exactly.
And now it's finally got somewhere to drink.
It's like, yeah.
It's like, finally, now I can bear fruit. Sorry, I don't mean to blight you, and I hope to God he actually didn't break it.
You know, the funny thing about it, though, we thought that. We're like, why now? What changed? What did it tap into?
What's the inciting incident?
And here's the best part about it, though. It's closer to my neighbor's house than it is my house.
Oh, good. Okay.
So they're probably like, I can just imagine the old lady behind me. Hey, Fred, why is the water bill twice as much? What the hell is that huge-ass plum tree in the neighbor's yard doing? All right, man. Spider-Man.
All right. All right. No, oh, wait. I'm sorry.
Another I did not one. Mention. What?
No, I didn't mention him by his name, and if he's listening, it would be so horrible. James Parenti is our friend. who is the great wine cellar over at Brassfield Estate Winery. So we're going up to San Jose, and we're going to try to see him.
Awesome. And then I'm assuming you were talking about you're going to be heading up there. You guys going to try and connect?
We're going to try to connect. He said next time we're up in Los Gatos, give him a buzz. So we will we'll hit him up and see what's going on.
And he's a wine guy.
Yeah, he's
right in Ann's wheelhouse.
Yeah, wine guy, and he's in San Jose. And when he was when he mentioned San Jose, I said, "Oh, are you at Byington?" And Byington is a little winery in the hills of San Jose, between San Jose and Los Gatos. And we were going to be members at Byington, except we went there for a tasting, had a great time. They have a great little field. But when you leave there, it's such a windy road to get home. I was like, oh, man, you do not want to be buzzed at any level coming home from
Yeah, that's
there.
The problem with a lot of that stuff, the middle of nowhere. Yeah, I got DM'd on Instagram.
Oh, cool.
From a listener, The Flying 90.
Oh, cool. All right.
The Flying 90. He said, hilarious podcast episode. This is last week, 167. He said, hilarious podcast episode.
Uh-huh.
The bike ride program for old people sounds like such an awesome idea. And then I said, glad you enjoyed it with a little heart. And then he said, I completely agree, too. I feel like Clint Eastwood has been old for as long as I can remember.
thank you.
I think the Flying 90 and Ted Willett are kindred spirits on Clint Eastwood. I love it. So anybody out there, I mean, whether it's, you know, I mean, we've had a ton of on Apple Podcast and Stitcher.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we're getting stuff Instagram, and this is on my my Bike Lanes of Lompoc. So not even anything to do with the show, just somebody, you know.
He probably reached out on our Twitter, and I just haven't been on it for so long.
I know. That's the other thing, too, Twitter and stuff. So no, he's a Lompoc local.
Oh, cool.
You know, in the bike scene here and everything. So nice. We always chat all the time. But yeah, I'm glad he listens. So, you know, you always wonder, too. Sometimes people are like, oh, yeah, I'll listen. And you're like, yeah, whatever. Uh-huh. You know, and then when they reach out just out of the blue and they're like, oh, dude, that was amazing. I'm like, right. Cool.
So thank God somebody listens.
Thank you, Max. I appreciate it. All right. So now Spider-Man No Way Home.
I know. Are you excited?
They're teasing the teaser. It's not even a teaser. It's a straight up trailer.
The trailer to the teaser. Yeah.
But to answer your question, yes, I am excited.
I love the idea of just, you know, working into the multiverse. I think the multiverse has a lot to offer. I think, you know, when you think about the way the Avengers storyline culminated in Infinity War, you know, and it was all headed towards Endgame, Infinity War. Yeah. And then this just feels like the multiverse is rich for the next handful of movies. And, you know, it's really a widening of the palette of what Marvel's going to be able to do moving forward. You know, I think, you know, for the past 10 years and four phases, they've had kind of the linear progression of, you know, the path to Endgame and the path to the building of the Avengers. And now with Eternals, Shang-Chi, and then this kind of multiverse, the gloves are off, the paths widened, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. And I think they're going to have many, many streams of concurrent progression that don't necessarily have to overlap, which is kind of nice. And then where they do overlap, the Easter eggs would just be extra.
You know, we're looking at Jon Favreau, Tom Holland, of course, Benedict Cumberbatch, and, you know, all of the, I don't know, what would you call it? The
usual suspects?
Yeah, the usual characters, usual actors.
Right.
Is this also a Kevin Feige production? Is it going down that path?
It is, yeah. Kevin Feige is definitely a key producer in here in this genre, and it is, you know, it is a Sony picture, so we're going to get that Sony-ness. But because it's the multiverse, I mean, we're very, very clued into the fact that we're going to have Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin, and we're going to have Alfred Molina as Doc Ock, and that opens the road to having Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man as well in the same movie, in the same plane, because they're in different universes.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. And then how does it work then when we're talking about, so Disney Plus, and you said it's Sony. How does it work with, I mean, are they ever going to cross paths and say, you know, will Disney ever bring Sony's on board and say, hey, for the interest of the fans, because we care more about fans than we do profits?
Well, I think Sony has like stayed out of the fray of getting a streaming service. So Sony has done the basic, what is it? The arms race of streaming services. I might've mentioned this in a past episode recently, but they stayed above the fray and they said, instead of picking a side or trying to go out on our own, we're just going to continue to make arms and you guys can buy, we'll be an arms dealer and we'll sell to all sides, you know?
Oh, okay.
So this seems like, without a streamer for Sony, without something to compete, it's a pretty clean purchase or licensing deal for Disney Plus when it comes around. You know, they'll have a short window in theatrical and then probably, hopefully, Disney Plus, maybe a premium. You know, who knows? Who knows how they're going to do it? It'll be the first one of that. Everything's a test in the Disney, in the streaming space.
Because the early, the Edward Norton Hulk, for example.
Yeah.
Do you ever see that landing on Disney or?
No, it just wasn't. It didn't have enough of a fan base to do anything with it. I don't think, you know, it's Universal, and Universal is very, very far removed from Disney.
Oh, that's Universal. Okay. Man, you know a cold. That's why I hired you.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about like what this got me thinking and talking with the boys. I was thinking, so if you go back, I mean, oh, geez, I don't even know, maybe mid-90s at this point, to the early Spider-Mans.
Right, the Tobey Maguires.
You go back in those days and you just go like through all of the Spider-Mans.
Yeah.
You know, to even include Civil War and all that stuff when he comes
in.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, you got to do all the Spider-Mans, right? Civil War is kind of out of context about the Avengers, but it's in context with Spider-Man.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and just, I don't, that's got to be like 10 movies or something.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're both trilogies before, and this is the third of the Holland ones. So yeah, so that would be 10 movies.
Wow.
But why wouldn't you? You didn't use Spider-Man. You got to. What about Endgame and Infinity War? Infinity War and Endgame.
Well, yeah. What I'm saying is, though, I was just using those as examples. Well, okay, yeah, 12, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe I'm not even thinking those because we just watched them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he really is not.
He's not a central character.
He's not as novel. Yeah. And he's not central in Civil War, but the novelty of him joining in Civil War was much higher than any of the novelty of him being in.
Right, the new suit.
Yeah.
And going off onto the spaceship, or was that Endgame? I don't remember. I think that was Endgame, but
that was Infinity War leading into Endgame, yeah.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, Infinity War. Too many.
But I like this. Yeah.
So yeah, overall though, I'm a fan.
Do you like Doctor Strange's sweats? He's kind of going. He's got a little.
Yeah, he's cash. It's Strange cash. I do enjoy how Spider-Man's like interrupting the spell casting, and he kind of like miscasts the spell and blows everything up. I mean, it's a cool cutscene with the sound, you know, and the way they cut the trailer, the pop 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 pop, whatever they did there and stuff. I mean, that was really cool.
When you drop the audio completely to zero, it's a startling effect that will pull people back to what they're watching.
And yes. You're like, whoa, okay.
What's going on?
The comedy ended and we're back at it now, you know, kind of a thing. Yeah, so I thought that was cool.
And then there's going to be a train heist. I mean, come on. How could you not love something that has a train heist?
Looks amazing. And I don't know how, like, a high school kid has drones killing people, you know, but whatever. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
No, that was the last movie. Have you seen?
Oh, that was last movie.
That was the last movie. That was Far From Home.
Wait, what? They're showing the last movie in this trailer?
No, because he said he was taught. They're talking about the end of the last movie.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah, I gotcha.
When he tasks Edith to take out the guy who's trying to vie for MJ's hand, you know.
So of all the Spider-Mans, I didn't see Far From Home.
Oh, you got to see Far From Home. I love it.
Yeah. So I guess that's why I didn't understand what they were talking about.
There you go. That's
the one movie I didn't see, and now I'm called on it. Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
All right. How about The King's Man?
Yes, The King's Man.
So we covered this episode 124, so not too year-ish ago, maybe not even. Uh-huh. So we talked about it.
But this is interesting because now we're in a place where these second trailers, you know, in the typical rollout of something, this probably would have come out last year. You know, it would have come out much earlier and under maybe a more fully Fox kind of title, you know. And
so you're saying because of COVID, it got delayed.
Because of COVID, it got delayed.
Right.
And now Fox is kind of fully entrenched in the Disney, you know, quiver. And it's more of a Fox studio under the Disney brand. So it's interesting to see the Kingsman retain its crudité. its crudeness. You know what I mean? Like, you expect something. And there's no mention of Disney in this at all. But this is a Disney property. This will end up on Disney Plus somehow, some way.
Gives new meaning to Pinocchio.
When Rasputin says what he says about his belly full or his balls empty, I'm like, wow, they're still, you know. And did you see the other? Did you see The Kingsman, the first two movies?
No, I have not. I have not.
Oh, man. They are good movies. You should definitely see them.
So wait a minute. The Kingsman and The Kingsman, are these different movies?
So The Kingsman is about the Secret Service in modern time. And then Kingsman 2 is the sequel.
Can I laugh?
Yeah.
I think we had this exact conversation in episode 124. So if you want to hear Ted explain all the King's movies to me, go listen to that one. Because I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I think I've heard this before.
I know this. I know this.
Had a whole episode about it.
Hey, it's been 40 episodes.
Yeah, 40. So it's been well, and then if you count summer vacation.
Our whole month and plus off. So yeah.
Yeah, our hiatus. We're talking a year ago, so who the hell remembers, man? So explain it to me one more time.
Okay, I was doing it quick. Yes, so they had two movies that were run concurrently, one in a sequel, and then this is now the prequel.
So was it Kingsman, like
plural,
King apostrophe S M E N, or was it Kingsman, like all one word?
It was all one word. All one word. Yes,
one word. Okay, I gotcha.
And now this is the origin story where it is just the Kingsman.
Is old Rasputin? I just have to go to give it the beer reference. But his
he looks a lot like the beer label.
He doesn't he?
I think they really went for the beer label. I don't know if the beer label is close to the real Rasputin, because
right.
Did he not like having his picture taken? I don't know.
I know.
Did he show up on film like Dracula?
I'll have to say, if there's like a nod to North Coast Brewing, that's just, I'm gonna be like, oh my god, this movie is so badass. But was Rasputin in the other ones?
No, he wasn't. I mean, this is historical Kingsman.
Oh, okay.
So he wasn't part of the other ones either. And Rafe Fiennes, one of my wife's favorite actors.
One of your concubines.
I only have one. One of Anne's favorite actors. So that's why she was the one pushing this one this week. I was like, yeah, we've done The Kingsman, you know, like we don't need to do this again, but she likes this trailer and it's a fun one. So that's good. But can you believe it's Disney? I mean, it's not Disney.
No, not with a Red Band trailer.
Disney's basically, you know, like part of this. It's a testament to the depth and breadth of what Disney has to offer us now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gotten to the point where when you look at studios and you look at content, 50 years ago, Disney, especially under Walt, before it was his brother as a CEO or anything, but I think Disney was you know, it was kid based. It was family based.
Right, right.
It was Snow White and, you know, all the things, you know, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and
a great dark ride, a classic dark ride. And
I think Mr. Toad's Wild Ride was the first ride.
Was it? Oh, that's amazing.
So, yeah, I think so. I read some books about Disney like years and years ago, but but no, I think Disney though, especially when you start adding in streaming and you know, and you start looking at all the Star Wars and the Marvel, and you know, they start dropping like an F-bomb here and there, like it's not it's not gratuitous, but every once in a while they give you like a shit or a piss or something, you know, and you're like, oh my god, it's Disney, how could they do that?
Right.
But I think Disney, you know, I think the audience is understanding. I think it's a platform more than it is I was gonna say a culture.
Well, it's definitely a brand.
It is a brand.
And I think Disney Plus will need to it will need to make distinctions within its content of what is appropriate, you know, for the family and what is not appropriate for the family. So, I mean, to me, that's the idea of being family friendly. It all mounts on the shoulders of preparing and warning the audience of what the content holds before you even get into it. I mean, I was about to watch Explained today with Bryce. You know, there's an Explained about coding.
On Netflix. Yeah.
And you turn on Explained Coding, right? And it pops up language, nudity, something violent, something.
Flashing lights.
And I'm like, it's TV.
Smoking.
It's TV MA. And it's about coding. And I'm like, is this episode? Do I have to watch this specific episode? Because I know there's episodes about monogamy and there's episodes about that. And is this rating for the whole series, the whole season? I'm like, there's no distinction as to what the content of this specific episode is. So I just turned it off and we turned on Pirates of the Caribbean. You know what I mean? We went back to Disney Plus because, you know, I know what I'm getting and, you know, it's what he wanted to see. And it was easier to just serve that up than worry about Anne yelling at me later because, you know, they're talking about coding porn or something.
See, yeah, exactly. See, what I could see happening is something on Disney, for example, is something like this being a Red Band type of a show.
Yeah.
Mature, maybe some nudity, maybe some foul language or sexual content or whatever the thing is. What I could see happening is Disney being that family platform. The kids go there to watch all the family type programming that they're familiar with, that they come to know. But like, there's like a pin within the platform itself.
Yeah.
So you want to go watch something a little bit risque as mom and dad, or even as a family, like let's say your kids are older or something.
I mean, oh, and it's so funny because Audrey wants to watch that stuff. But she has a whole bunch of stuff that she wants to watch that she knows we want to watch. But she says, this is a individual watching. Well, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch it alone by myself. And you and mommy can watch it because I don't want to watch like, you know, suggested, suggestive scenes.
Watching
with my
simulated
parents.
Sex with my dad is just creepy.
I don't want to watch it with her either. Please.
Exactly.
But I love the idea, and this is and we're back at Pangolin, my friend. We're back in a Pangolin space where, you know, you have the separate profiles. You have the kids' profile,
your
parent profiles. And then just the fact that you have kids' profile on your account, it should have like a separate warning where you like, you know, you and Clarissa sit down to watch the Kingsman. And it pops up and it says, you have a kid profile on your account. You know, you may want to check this title is a hard R rating. And we just want to confirm that you guys are like that. And then if you don't have a kid profile in your account, you know, you could say there aren't any kids on this and, you know, just kind of let it lay. But when there's do Timmy and Mikey have their own profile or is it just one?
On Netflix, you mean, or?
Yeah, or Disney Plus, either or.
No, right now it's just theirs.
Just the kids.
It's kids. So both of them have the same profile.
Right. That's interesting.
So we don't parse it out individual.
And Audrey and Bryce, I, you know, that they're different. They're
I can
much
see
more
that though, because
the Timmy and Mikey. Timmy and Mikey can watch stuff together.
Exactly.
And always be in sync.
They're close enough in age.
And interest.
An interest, yeah. So one of the things I was thinking too is it's kind of like if you think about a kid's profile, when you're looking at the kid's profile is at age, let's say 10 years old, for example.
Right.
Now, you know, you've had the service for 6 years. Now they're 16.
Right.
So when they're 10, it's like, warning, sexual content, warning, explicit language, you know, something like that. Now, fast forward 6 years, it just says with like a question mark, cool? Right? Because yep, it's yep. Like, you know, you're not going to give all the warning. You just say, Dad, you okay with this? Like, they're kind of old enough. I mean, I think we're okay with this.
Yeah. Like, watch it. Like, I love it when Audrey comes to us, like, just out of the blue, and she goes, you know, I just can't stop thinking about Fight Club. I'm like, oh, that's so awesome.
I love that.
I've actually, like, you know, like, affected her movie preference. Like, she doesn't think anything I do is cool. But this one thing we watch together is kind of like has really taken hold. And I think it's a great thing.
And along those lines, whenever anybody says, like, you know, anything about a box, you're always like, what's in the box?
I said Seven's next. What did she say? She said,
that's what I mean. Yeah. You
know? She said Fincher. She said Social Network is still her favorite Fincher because she can watch it repeatedly.
Okay.
She wants to watch it over and over again. She loved Fight Club. She revisits it. She has the soundtrack. She plays the soundtrack a lot, especially when she's exercising.
Dude, I got to watch. What platform you guys watch it on?
I think we watched. What did we watch it on? Oh, man. Did we watch it on DVD?
Oh, okay. So
I think I pulled the DVD out.
You watched it on old school platform.
Old school. I was like, yeah, let me pull out the DVD. The soap
baby,
DVD.
Maybe it's 4:3 ratio.
No, it was anamorphic, okay?
Okay, there you go. There you go. All right, man. Foundation.
Oh, you can't wait, right? And you have Apple TV Plus.
I can't wait. You ever read any Isaac Asimov?
A little bit. Oh man, did you see the new Tesla bot?
No, what?
Tesla bot. They have a Tesla robot that looks like a humanoid.
Oh god, this is scary.
And it's going to run off of the AI that they put in the Tesla cars.
So I don't even know what that means. Does it drive itself?
No, it walks. It walks. It walks only as fast as 5 miles an hour. And it's about
wait
100,
only
100,
is I can't walk 5 miles an hour. What do you mean only?
Well, it can't. That's its top speed, so you can outrun it. You know, and it's 125 pounds, and it's only like 5'5" or 5'3" or something like that. And basically, Elon Musk said, so you can outrun it, you could overpower it, you could do anything you want as a human. Typical human could overpower it.
I can outrun it until they change some software.
So the software, and I bring this up because Will Smith's iRobot, they look exactly like those robots in Will Smith's.
Oh, is that what it looks like?
In Will Smith's iRobot.
Oh, that's scary.
And you know, that is the classic, one of the classic Isaac Asimov works of fiction, the science fiction that will come to pass if Elon Musk can say about
scary.
It. So not only will the new Tesla drive itself, but then you could get a Tesla bot to drive your Tesla.
That's scary.
So have you read The Foundation? Or is that The Foundation or Foundation?
Foundation and Earth. There's like a bunch of Foundation books.
Oh, okay. It's a series. It's a series of books.
Yeah, it's a series. Among other books.
Right.
You know, he's written a ton of stuff. Foundation and Earth. I think I got about three quarters of the way through. And then I realized I wasn't smart enough to finish.
Oh, no. You're smart enough now, though. You should go back.
I might be. Yeah.
you've gained knowledge.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's just I don't do well with sci-fi for some reason.
Really?
Larry Nevin and William Parnell and such. I've read some, you know, The Mote in God's Eye, and you know, I read a bunch of these guys' books.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I just struggle. Even like Moby Dick, and you know, just
Tomes.
Yeah, it's like 100,000 Leagues Under the Sea, you know, and I just don't do well with those kind. I'm more of like a tell me what I need to know, save the metaphors.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing. But this, but the trailer, though, reminds me of like a futuristic Game of Thrones.
Right. Right. And I think it, and it has a pedigree of being of the Isaac Asimov legacy that makes it like the basis of all science fiction, Star Trek, Star Wars, everything. You know what I mean? It kind of becomes this grandparent to everything that we are know as cinematic science fiction.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm showing Clarissa. I said, "So you think you're in? You want to watch this?" And she said,
"She's in."
She's like, "Yeah, I can't wait."
She must have read it. Did she read it?
No, she never did.
That's amazing that I would think that she hadn't read it.
I asked her, I said, "You ever read these?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, you know, we have them. We have like 10 of the books. Why don't you read it?" She's like, "I didn't know we had them." Now you're talking about a woman.
She's a Dune queen.
Exactly. She read the whole Dune, like 10 Dune books or however many Dune books.
I mean, my daughter loves reading. She read... what, 6 million words one year, the most ever counted in the Burbank school system.
Yeah.
And because Chalamet is in Dune, she's like, "Oh, I got to get Dune." So she got Dune for Christmas. She made it just over halfway through the book and she put it down. She's like, "This is too much going on. I'm just going to watch a movie." I'm like, man, Clarissa really like got into it.
Clarissa read, I think about like, I think there, I don't even know. There's like 8 or 10 books. Maybe there's more.
Yeah.
But it's like the first 4 or something is it Herbert or something? I think it's Herbert. I don't even know. I never read him. So.
Right.
And then after that, like his son takes over.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
And his son does like the next 5 or 9 or however many. And Clarissa's read like, I mean, if there's 20 books, she's read like 13 of them or something. Like whatever the number is, she's yeah. probably read like 80% of the books or 60, 70, whatever it is. I don't even care. It doesn't even matter. She's just read a ton of these Dune books. And I've never read one. I've watched the Sting movie once. And
yeah, it's a good, yeah.
I'm like, I watched Sting, you know, because we covered Dune not too long ago.
Right.
And she said, "Oh, yeah, every year I went to Christmas, we watched Dune." I'm like, "You watched it more than once?" I'm like, "That movie was awful." She goes, "Oh, no, I love that movie." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Like, who? I mean, that is like spousal repellent for any guy I know. And my wife's like top notch into it.
What was that movie that you guys watched on one of your first dates?
Oh, that was Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver. She was still into it after Taxi Driver. So, you know what I mean? She gives movies a wide berth.
Yeah. Just to give a bit of background, I had a project in a philosophy class. I had to pick 2 philosophers to talk about like whatever their philosophic ideas were, and 1 artistic philosopher, and then apply it to a movie of my choosing from this list. And Taxi Driver was one of the movies on the list. I think I chose, like, for my artistic philosopher was like Frank Zappa.
Nice. Okay.
And then 1 was like Immanuel Kant and I don't know, whatever. But so I said, "Yeah, I got to watch this movie." And she's like, "Oh, okay, what movie?" And I said, "Taxi Driver." And I saw it before, but like it's been years.
I'm right.
Like, yeah. Like, "You talking to me?" You know, he does all that stuff. And so it goes into like the end murder scene when they're blowing everybody away.
Right.
And Michelle Pfeiffer, I think, is who it was, who was like the child porn, not porn. Was it Michelle Pfeiffer?
Oh, no, Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, that's who it was.
Jodie Foster, yeah.
And she was the child prostitute or something and everything. And
child prostitute, yeah.
And then at the end of it, I'm like, my apologies. I forgot how gruesome that movie was. I mean, we're dating like weeks.
Yeah.
I said, "I forgot how gruesome that movie was." She goes, "Oh, no, don't worry about that movie. That was amazing."
That's great. Great movie.
I was like, really? Okay, yeah, maybe we'll go out again. But yeah, Foundation. I mean, Apple TV Plus, we both have it.
Right.
It's low-hanging fruit. It's sci-fi. It's the precursor to Star Trek, Star Wars, and everything else we know.
Everything in space ever.
Yeah. I mean, how are we not going to watch it? I mean, we right. have to. It's there.
I think the pedigree of Apple TV Plus means they're going to spend a lot of money on it, and they're going to do it to a very high quality standard.
And the acting core is high. And I think Apple is, as a studio, is coming into their own. I mean, there's tons of amazing actors. They're starting to build a good library, a good body of work that they have that they can add into their
repertoire.
Yeah, just what they have to offer.
Right.
You know, even things, I mean, like the Greyhound with Tom Hanks and all that stuff. I mean, they're coming up with some awesome stuff. So, yeah, I have no doubt this is going to be well produced.
Does it make you feel think of The Expanse at all?
It did a little bit when I was watching it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We kind of lost favor with The Expanse. It's just, you know, it's just after so many seasons of stuff.
Early seasons was great. You were on it. You loved it. And then
I was into it.
And then just, you know, there's just too much melodrama as season four turns.
Yeah. season four turns. And you're just like,
they're making the same mistakes. There's only so many mistakes people can make in your life. That then they're just like, oh, well, they deserve what they get because they've made that mistake before.
And the thing is, it just becomes another soap opera in a different realm.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
You know, and it's like, okay, you told me what I needed to know, and now you're just drag. I mean, it could be zombies. It could be it could be belters. It could be, I don't care what it is. It's like, it's just a soap opera at this point. You know,
speaking of that,
what are you watching?
I turned on the other day
Ted Lasso.
It was Apple TV tried to serve it up to me. The first episode free from AMC Plus.
Okay.
The new season of The Walking Dead.
Get a new season.
A new season of Walking Dead. I watched the first 5 minutes, and it's like a handful of characters.
Is this like season 14 or something?
I don't have any clue. I think they said 11, but that could be wrong. Feels like much longer than that. But Negan's helping him out now. Negan's one of the good guys.
It feels like a lifetime.
And I was like, oh my God, Negan was like, putting the screws to everybody.
He's bashing dudes in the head with a baseball bat.
You know, and instead now he's one of the good guys. And I think Carol was saying like, we wouldn't have got out alive without Negan. I was like, click, you know what I mean? I'm turning it off. And I still have not watched any Ted Lasso. And I blame high school. I blame Audrey having to go to high school and having a lot of, AP European history. God, please. Why do you take AP European history? You know, and now she has.
Because she can.
Now she has no time to watch Ted Lasso with her dad. And I have to suffer and not watch it. And I feel like I'm going to. I went to go turn it on the other day. I'm like, oh, I can't watch it without her. She's going to die. She's going to say. So I'm going to have to get special dispensation and see if I can watch it without her.
Pay indulgence. I mean, what you'll have to do is you'll have to just say, you know, baby, it's Saturday night. It's 10 o'clock. You're done with anything school related. I don't care about your AP, whatever you're doing.
Let's knock out a couple of episodes of Ted Lasso.
Yeah, they're 30 minutes, you know.
But she's sleeping over at her friend's house, so we can't even do it now.
Yeah, so speaking of Ted Lasso, so we're all caught up on our end.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's the ebb and flow. It's like, it's good, it's not, it's good, it's like, it's... I think what happened the first season was they hit magic. Good and they just rode the wave.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were surfing, right? I mean,
of course.
That 2-foot wave, man, you were crushing it, right? Ted Lasso, they hit like a 50-foot wave in the first season and they rode it all the way to the beach.
Yeah.
I think what's happening now is every once in a while, like they fall off the board, crash, and have to swim back and catch a new wave.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. It happens.
It's good. It's good. And then it's like, it's not good.
Okay.
And sometimes it's full episode good and not good. And other times it's scene good and not good.
Part by part. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to you watching to see what you think.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we're neck deep in Manifest. Mm. It's on Netflix. Like I said last week, my mom turned us on to it.
Did it just get on Netflix? Because now I see it in top 10 on Netflix. I'm like, man, where is this from? And we know, like,
well, we started, man, and we bumped it over.
You guys watching it?
You know, it's I think it's a network show. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's NBC. I think it's NBC and they must have licensed it out.
Okay, it's NBC. Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm sure it didn't perform so well for NBC. So NBC's like kicking themselves. I don't think it got renewed or anything. Or it, maybe
well,
it just
it's three seasons.
Season. Oh, okay. Well, I don't. Yeah. Well, I don't think it was as pop. Well, who knows? Maybe it was. Maybe it was popular for those linear folks. I don't follow the linear NBC news.
The thing about it, though, it feels very linear television. It feels very NBC, right? You're watching it and it's just, it's kind of like that bad acting that you get from linear television.
NBC bigwigs are like, we need a Lost. Somebody go out there and make a Lost for us.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things where it's just that melodramatic acting, like it's just over the top. Mm-hmm. It's just too much, right? So then, you know, you get those where the commercial breaks would fall, but there's no commercial breaks because they cut them.
Right.
At the top of the show, actually, I shouldn't say that. At the end of the show, the bottom of the show, you're just kind of like, wow, it's over. Huh, got to stay till next week. Guy was clean, but we know he's not. They showed he wasn't because, you know, it's one of those things where like
Kate was a fugitive before they would, but we didn't know that because when we met her, she wasn't in handcuffs, right?
No, but it's like they don't trust the audience. It's that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they don't trust the audience. So right before a scene cuts, he has to look at the device in his hand.
And to cut away.
And then they cut away. And it's like, no, I actually got that. You didn't, like, I'm not as dumb as you are thinking I am. You know, it's like that kind of linear television, if you know what I'm saying.
Totally.
And then we finished Endgame. So that's nothing new. But the boys saw it for the first time.
Yeah. What was their take?
And... oh, they loved it. I mean, they loved Endgame. They loved all the Marvel all the way through. I think the biggest thing we got into as a family, the thing that the boys enjoyed the most, completely loved, were all of the Stan Lee cuts.
Okay, yeah.
So much that we went on YouTube and we found, like, there's a bunch of videos.
Supercut, yeah.
All the supercuts of all the Stan Lees.
Nice, nice.
And, you know, they could, I think they could take or leave the Marvel movies, but they want to see all Stan Lee.
Mm-hmm. And so have you heard of the fanboys that wanted the old version of Steve Rogers to be Stan Lee?
Oh, that would have been cool.
You know, when he's sitting on the bench.
Yeah,
and he says,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Over there, you know, that's up for you. Like if that were Stan Lee.
And then but he has a serious conversation.
So I think the serious conversation was probably why they didn't go with it. But it would kind of explain away why this old man is in all these movies because he's just
Was he still alive at the time?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know the
lineage, but you know, with computer animation, I mean, they brought Princess Leia back from
that's
the dead,
true.
So
yeah,
they could have done it if they wanted to, but I think it was too serious of a moment. You know, they wanted to preserve the moment.
But it was hilarious though. Like every movie along the way, they were, you know, it was like there's Stan Lee. Who's Stan Lee? He's the guy that wrote the whole Marvel universe.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh, cool. The second movie. Oh, is that Stan Lee? Yeah, that's Stan Lee. Oh, there's Stan Lee. By the fourth movie, they're like, Stan Lee! You know, like every time he'd show up, man, they would just scream it.
Yeah.
There's Stan! You know, it was, I mean, once they realized what was going on and who he was, and then, you know, it was the best. They just loved him. How about you guys? What are you guys watching?
Well, we're big into Monsters at Work, which is the series about, you know, the new laugh floor and the people trying to, I guess it's Ty, this is his name, main character, and he wants to be a scarer, but he's not so good at comedy. So they stick him in maintenance, you know, so he has to do maintenance stuff. But
what platform is this?
Disney Plus.
Oh, okay.
You can get into that with the kids probably. And then we love Turner and Hooch, which is also on Disney Plus.
Turner and Hooch, which version? There's a couple of them.
The series that's out now on Disney Plus.
Oh, okay. Not the original with Tom Hanks, I think.
Tom Hanks, yeah. We like the movie. The movie's just a heart wrencher, you know what I mean?
It is.
But the thing that I love about Turner and Hooch, the series, is that it's created and show run by Matt Nix. And I don't know, we're big Burn Notice fans. I don't know if you remember the USA TV show Burn Notice, but
no, I've never seen it.
It's a nice procedural where a guy worked for the CIA and he got burned. So he's just doing odd, you know, odd hitman kind of jobs for people in South Beach in Miami. And he's hanging out down there trying to find out who burned him. So that it has this overarching story, the super arch. And then each one of the episodes has like a little crime that he has to solve or a gig that he has to do. So it applies the same thing to Turner and Hooch, the series. And, you know, he worked on The Good Guys, which is another great series with, I think with one of Hank's kids, right? The Good Guys, is that? Yeah, I think Colin Hanks is in that. So it's kind of funny, like, you know, the lineage of things. And like, he was working on The Good Guys with Colin Hanks and Bradley Whitford. And then it's a Fox TV show. And then Fox gets bought up and into the Disney Plus. Now he's in the Disney family a little bit with Turner and Hooch. And he's doing a show that's kind of on this realm of procedural where every episode they have like the U.S. Marshals and they have the crime to solve. And there has to be the way that the dog is involved in the tracking of the criminal or something like that. So it's interesting and it's a nice fresh take. And I'm really surprised that Audrey at 15 is invested, you know, like she wants to watch this.
So you're saying you thought she would be too old?
Yeah, I thought this would probably be out of her wheelhouse for the age.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Bryce likes it and we like it because it's clean fun. And then I thought it'd be too much of clean fun for her. But she likes it. It's, you know, there's a little romantic triangle in there. So it's a nice balance of everything. So it's an interesting needle to thread to have something that is truly family friendly and engaging, you know?
Isn't it funny how that happens, though, where, like, you're young, you're into it, then somewhere there's a turn, you're too old for it, it's too dorky, and then somewhere there's a turn back, and you're like, ha, 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 this is so good.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't have kids, you would be like, I love this, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but there's like that middle span in there where you're just like, no way, man, this is too, like, I'm way too mature for this.
You're too cool for school. You know what I mean? It's like it's that section. So I hope I'm not blowing up her spot. Luckily, none of her classmates are.
Oh, man. You think they're Trailer Junkies fans?
I'm pretty sure she tells them nothing about Trailer Junkies.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
She tells her teachers a little bit about it. One day she forgot her Hydro Flask. She left her Hydro Flask at school.
Okay.
And she's like addicted to water, like most people, I guess. But she had to take my Hydro Flask to school with her.
There was a sticker on it.
And I have tons of stickers on it. And I have a Grateful Dead sticker and I have a Kauai sticker. And I have a Pearl Jam sticker that matches my Pearl Jam tattoo, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have that on there. And one of her teachers is like, Pearl Jam, like, cool. And she's like, this is my dad's Hydro Flask, you know?
This is my dad's water. I just had to bring it today because I left my water. But how does that fit into Trailer Junkies podcast?
Oh, because then she tells her teachers about the podcast, and a handful of teachers in the old school did listen.
Oh my God! So I hope I didn't put her in a bad place.
And I have Trailer Junkies podcast stickers on my Hydro Flask as well. So all the whole set.
Oh jeez, I put her in the principal's office. Oh good lord. All right, man. Anything we missed out on? How'd your beer finish?
The beer was nice. It had a little tartness to the end of it, but you know,
okay,
it's to be expected. And like I said, it's refreshing to have a non-aromatic, you know, non-additive barrel-aged stout.
It's refreshing to have a 12%er putting me on my ass.
Yeah.
I would say mine is just about an average red ale that you'd probably expect from Trader Joe's. I mean,
I love that it's a microbrew in San Jose, though. I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, the beer was fine. The beer was really good. It's just, I would just say it's like an average red ale. If I went to a party and they had like Coors Light or like a cooler full of these, I could drink these things all night, man. They were really good.
Yeah.
I would even buy it if I had to. I mean, I got it in a raffle for free, but I'm saying I would even buy this. It was a good beer.
Awesome.
But what I would say though, on its, you know, just as I mentioned, it's like an average good ale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't go out of my way and say it's exceptional, and it was definitely not bad. So
awesome.
You know, I mean, drive through red, dry hopped ale. So what was it, San Joseph's or something? Or
no, Joseph Brow. Joseph Brow.
Yeah. Josephina's brow? I don't know. Unibrow?
Say goodnight, Gracie.
All right, Ted. We'll talk to you, man.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. You have a good night.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.